Muchas gracias, misionero Miguel Lemus de Marín. Dios te siga bendiciendo grandemente. Te guarde.
Thank you very much, missionary Miguel Lemus Marín. May God continue to bless you greatly and keep you. May He always keep you strong and healthy until you obtain the promises pertaining to this end time. Greetings to all the brethren there in Mapachapa and in all the places over there where they are gathered with our brother Miguel and all those that are also connected through the satellite Amazonas and the internet in the different countries and the satellite Eutelsat 8 and also there in Europe, in Africa and other places. Today, Sunday, September 22nd of this year, 2024. And also those who are present here on this occasion. We find ourselves here in this place to have fellowship with each other around the Word of God and His program pertaining to this end time. And to see you all in this place, the place where our brother Branham saw that there was a people there. And notice, although brother William says that it could start with a few people and such a big place, but the time would come when not one more person would fit in that place. In other words, it would be full. And all of that, notice, God would progressively carry out that work that was shown to the Reverend William Branham, which was shown to him in that 10th vision. Mr. Benjamin Cruz and his daughter are with us today. May God bless him. The son of our brother Andres and others who are visiting, a warm welcome to you this morning. Also, our brother there, the Reverend Luis Carlos, there from Bucaramanga, may God bless him in Colombia. It is his birthday today. May God bless him greatly and continue using him in his work at this end time. And everyone who is also celebrating their birthday, what is left of this month of September, October, November, and December. May God bless you greatly. For this occasion, our subject is What Happens at the Last Trumpet, preached on October 4th of 2008 in Cali, Colombia. Let us read in the book of Revelation, chapter 11, verse 15 and on, where it tells us, "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders, which sat before God in their seats, fell upon their faces, and worship God, saying, We give Thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast, and art to come, because Thou hast taken to Thee Thy great power, and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and Thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and that Thou shouldest give reward unto Thy servants the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear Thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in His temple the ark of His testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail." There upward on the right side he writes on that verse, beginning at the bottom, he writes, "The temple opened." what happens at the last trumpet. You may please be seated. In the message, the foretold seal, preached on November 1st, 2013, in Buenos Aires, Argentina, Dr. William Soto Santiago says, "And now, the trajectory of the Church through the ages has elapsed, and we find ourselves in a time parallel to the time of Jesus and His apostles. For then John the Baptist, as forerunner, had ended his time and died. The forerunner of the second coming of Christ had his time of ministry and he also departed." On page 75 of the Book of Quotations, he tells us in this excerpt from a message preached by the Reverend William Branham, paragraph 644, he tells us, "Brethren, who is listening to this on tape, I was a great guy when I come among you, just healing the sick, speaking of visions and showing things. But when I went to tell you the truth about the Word, what did you turn your back on me for? To the left, he draws a Star of David. Do you realize it's just fulfilling what the Scripture said? Yes, it does that way. Now I can hardly get in a place. Well, all men has forsaken me, but there's one thing. He stood by me. I wasn't disobedient to the heavenly vision that happened down there on the river. I've stayed true to it. He's been true to me. I'm trusting in Him someday, I don't know when, for a crowning of my ministry. And above ministry, he writes, Elijah. I've stayed just as true as I could be. I don't know what it'll be. I don't know when it'll be. And I, just when he's ready, I am. I don't care. I hope he crowned my ministry of this, of letting me take the clothes of the Word and dress his bride in the clothes of the Word and for his righteousness. I hope he will crown me. Let me stand on that day, say, Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." At the bottom there he writes, "Behold the Lamb," and in between parentheses he writes, "Lion of God." Behold the Lamb, in between parentheses, Lion of God, and three dots. And to the right, going upward, in two lines or two sentences, he writes. That is, first he writes, "The crowning of the ministry of Elijah." The crowning of the ministry of Elijah. And a bit further up, he writes, "To forerun equals to prepare the people for the coming of the Lord." The crowning of the ministry of Elijah, to forerun equals to prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. Our brother William continues to say, "What is given to the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ?" Or, let me correct, "What is left for the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ?" What is left is the same thing that Israel had after John the Baptist finished his ministry. We are left with the messianic stage for the Church, which we do not know how long it will last. In the Book of the Ages, on page 27 of the book edited, he tells us, "There it is. These good people of Ephesus had heard about the coming Messiah. John had preached him. they were baptized unto repentance of sins, looking forward to believing on Jesus. But now, it was time to look back to Jesus and be baptized unto remission of sins. It was time to receive the Holy Ghost. And when they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul laid his hands on them and the Holy Ghost came upon them. Oh, those dear folks at Ephesus were fine people. And if anyone had a right to feel secure, they did. Notice how far they had come. They had come all the way up to the accepting the coming Messiah. And he writes to the left, Messiah. They were ready for him. But don't you see that in spite of that, they had missed him? He had come and gone. They needed to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They needed to be filled with the Holy Ghost. On page 36, there at the bottom he has a writing that says, the messianic ministry and message today like yesterday. The messianic ministry and message today like yesterday. Our brother William continues to say, which we do not know how long it will last, but that stage will be crowned with the coming of the Lord Jesus, with the dead in Christ who will be resurrected in eternal, immortal, glorified bodies, and the transformation of us who are alive. In the message, the unveiling of God, on page 7, which is also an excerpt of the book of quotations, that is, here I am reading directly from the message, which is in the book of quotations on page 123, which is paragraph 1074, or 1094 rather, which begins on 122 and continues on 123. And this little part here that I will be reading is on page 123 on the book of quotations. It says, and that's when the Apostle Peter made that great statement. I'm on page 6, paragraph 30 of the message, The Unveiling of God. And that's when Apostle Peter made that great statement. Lord, to whom would we go? See? For we are satisfied. We know assuredly that you and you alone have the word of life of this hour. See? And we are satisfied of that. See? They could not explain it. You can't explain faith. It's something that you believe. And it's so solid that there is nothing else will take its place. Therefore, they know that the word that was written for that age that they were living in, the messianic age, that he fit that place exactly. And he writes, the messianic age, to the left. And what could they do to go back in them cold, formal churches that they had come out of? Said, where would we go to? See, we are fully persuaded that you have the word of life, see? And they couldn't explain it. But they believed it, see? And Jesus said that to weed down his crowd, see? Till he could get the group together. And out of all those people, they, only 11 of them, then understood actually who he was. 11 because Judas Iscariot did not believe. They knowed that he was God, and God alone. Now, my subject this morning is to reveal or unveil that God. We draw a cornerstone in the ages to the left. God has always, in every age, has hid behind a veil, all ages. But he's been God all the time, see? but he kept himself hid from the world and revealed himself to his elected, like the apostles at that day. Now, that was God speaking in Christ. And he draws a Star of David to the left. Now, man has always, it's been the nature of man, he sought to see physically that God. He has always wanted to see it. And he draws to the right a Star of David also. Now, our brother William continues to say here, that is why Christ, the mighty angel, comes with the little book open in his hand and cries as when a lion roars and seven thunders utter their voices. The seven thunders, which our brother Branham says that those seven thunders show the bride how to prepare for translation faith. That is on page 148 on the Book of the Seals. It says, seven thunders of Revelation, may he show the bride how to prepare for the great translation faith. Above that, he writes, the thunders. And to the right, he draws a cornerstone on the ages, and he writes, rapturing faith. He wrote it downward. He goes on to say, the Reverend William Branham says that the seven thunders will give the church the faith to be transformed and raptured and taken with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And all of that corresponds with what the Reverend William Branham said to us, with the angel told him regarding the third pool. In the message, is this the sign of the end, sir? On page 45, it tells us, here is on paragraph 353. Now, is it plain? When the first seal was opened, the seal that was inside the book, this mystery that was sounded forth, justification, sanctification, Roman Catholic Church, Protestants, and when all their little battles and things left these loose ends in the Word of God, the seventh angel comes on and gathers them all up and explains them, see? And then he finishes, seven thunders order out. And there he writes, the thunders speak after the mystery is fully finished for him. Further on, he also says, in this message, on page 46, which is paragraph 367, it says, the other angels was messengers, men of the earth, but this angel, these that said, to the angels of the church of Laodicea, to the angel of the church of Ephesus, messengers of the earth, see, men, messengers, prophet, and so forth, to the church. But this one didn't come from the earth. He come down from heaven. Of which, notice, let us see there on page 70 of the Book of the Seals. This seven-seal book is revealed at the time of the seven thunders of Revelation 10. Now, if you're marking it down, let's turn to Revelation 10 just a moment, so you get an understanding before we get into it. Now, this is at the end time. For listen, I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow upon his head. If you notice, that's Christ, see? Because he, in the Old Testament, was called the angel of the covenant. And he's directly coming to the Jews now, for the church is finished, see? All right. And his face, as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. You remember the angel of Revelation 1? Same thing. Angel is a messenger, and he's the messenger to Israel, see? The church has been raptured, see now, or fixing to be raptured. He comes for his church. There on that paragraph which we started to read, he writes, Revelation 10, 1 to 11 equals Revelation 11, 3 to 7, and 11, 15 to 19. In other words, it's the same thing. And also in the book of quotations, which is that same excerpt that we read, that is, it is placed here on page 85. Let's see there. On the book of quotations. It is paragraph, let us see, 722. There is where that excerpt is. And there he writes, Revelation 10. In other words, above that excerpt, he writes, Revelation 10. The mighty angel is the messenger to the Jews. Now, let's continue here in the message. Is this the sign of the answer? But this one didn't come from the earth. He came down from heaven because the mystery is all finished. And when the mystery is finished, the angel said, time shall be no more. And the seven thunders throat their voices out. And there to the side, he writes, Revelation 10, 1 to 6, appears after the mystery is finished, and then the thunders are heard. In other words, after the mighty angel says that time is no more, time of redemption, he wrote there in the Bible, he writes, redemption, that is the time of the dispensation of grace, closes. Who says that the time is no more? The voice of the mighty angel. And it says, and seven thunders uttered their voices. What if it is something to let us know how to enter into the rapturing faith? Is it? We will run, leap over walls? And is there something fixing to happen and these old marred vile bodies are going to be changed? Can I live to see it, O Lord? Is it so close that I'll see it? Is this the generation? Sirs, my brethren, what time is it? Where are we at? Let's look at the watch, the calendar, to see what date we're living in. Israel is in Palestine, in her homeland. The ensign, the six-pointed star of David. And he drew a star of David to the right. And at the top he writes, the end signed equals 2,000 years ago, yeah, nearly 2,500 years ago. The oldest flag is flying. Israel is back in her homeland. When the fig tree puts forth its buds, this generation shall not die, shall not pass out, pass away until all things are fulfilled. Israel, these days and today, in the news, they're on alert. On that northern part of Israel. Now notice, all these threats have always existed toward the people of Israel, but every time they intensify more and more. May God keep Israel from these attacks, and may God keep them, may He hold all of that back a bit. Because those who have to be sealed still have to be sealed by that angel who comes with the seal of the living God. Now, notice when he says, we will run and leap over walls, he is asking, that will happen to the elect of God when they obtain that rapturing faith. There's a place where someone sent me where Brother William spoke about that in these bodies we are going to experience. If the one who sent it to me can resend it to me again, because I got so many messages that this one keeps falling behind, and I did not mark it. He sent it to me in a picture. If he's listening to me, there is no problem. You can send it again to read it, where he says that if in these bodies that have given us so much trouble, we can, may God allow us, make the most of it while still being in these bodies, to be of a blessing to the work. At that time, he was speaking there on that occasion. So we are seeing now how since Brother Branham or before then, let's see, if it was this brother, he sent it to me this morning. This is the one. I am grateful to him. I don't have his name saved here. The person who sent it to me. May God bless you. And thank you for sending it to me. Notice. He says, and I trust that the angel that encamped around you, this was on June 22nd, 1985, a message to the ministers in Monterrey, Mexico. I trust that the angel that encampeth around about, the angel of each of the children of God, can have a little more work through and for each of those to whom each angel belongs to. That he is not only defending you, but that he may do something else for the knowledge that you may acquire, to allow him to operate and do some other things that we will need later on for the benefit of all of you. Notice, imagine, because if the fifth dimension is going to open up for the world, well, if we find a way for the sixth dimension to be opened while we are still here on earth, so that the theophanic body of each one of us can do more, well, notice, when we figure out how to do it, then we will do it. Even if we still have this earthly body that gives us so much trouble. Now notice how the Holy Spirit has been guiding us towards that. And look, it is scriptural. Notice how we've been speaking about all that. Because we are going to get a taste of everything there is in that land, in that promised land of the new body, even while we are still in these bodies. Now, remember that they will say, give us of your oil. Why would that be? Those elect of God who have been hearing the rapturing faith from the Great Tent Cathedral will have something special. Those who do hear and keep it in their heart. Not those who hear and say that they are like lizards. They don't want to listen. But of course they don't want to listen, because that is for the elect, the ones that are going to be transformed. Those are the ones who will get that taste, because God will allow them. Because notice, if the fifth dimension is going to open, the sixth dimension will be open also for the elect. And we are going to be carrying out certain things, which we've been speaking about. And notice, look, imagine, since it causes us so much trouble, so let us see what we can do, so it gives us some more benefits, which is what we need in this body. And while we get more benefits, and the more good things we can do, then we do less bad things. We are more busy with good things. It is just like your mind. To fight and prevent bad things from coming to your mind, well, keep your mind filled with good things, and then the bad things or negative things will have no place to settle. Negative thoughts have no place where everything is filled with positive thoughts. Now notice how Brother Branham here, speaking about the rapturing faith and what the thunders was making known, he says, what if it is something to let us know how to enter into the rapturing faith? Is it? Will we run, leap over walls? And is there something fixing to happen? And these old, marred, vile bodies are going to be changed? Can I live to see it, O Lord? Is it so close that I'll see it? In other words, notice how many things that Brother Branham spoke there, which the elect of God who would be receiving those blessings, all that will be materialized to them. And he also writes their rapturing faith. There on page 52. And there's another place also where he speaks about the thunders. Right here on 47, paragraph 371 says, might be closer than you think it is. It's got me scared. Oh, I haven't done enough. Where are we at? Time shall be no more. He announces that time is over. What happens? What happens? Could that be so now, brethren? Seriously think. If it is, then the pyramid is capped by the seven thunders. And he writes, crowned by. And at the bottom, he writes, the pyramid is capped by the cornerstone through the seven thunders. The pyramid is capped by the seven thunders. And there he writes in English in the top part, then the pyramid is capped by the seven thunders. In other words, truenos, the seven thunders. Now, our brother William continues to say, therefore, that third pool is very important, and it is mysterious, but it is part of the divine program, of which a sample was given in the ministry of the Reverend William Branham. And then he said, what you have seen manifested partially will be manifested in all of its fullness when the squeeze comes. Page 38 on the Book of Quotations tells us on paragraph 315. The whole creation is groaning, waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God, waiting to a spot to where that the sickness will be arise. And it will be that way. The blind will receive their sight, deaf and dumb. We pray for them now, but then you'll command it. Notice, it is the spoken word by the lips of an elect with rapturing faith. But then you command it. Didn't say, these signs shall follow them that believe, they shall pray for the sick. He said, they shall cast out devils. Not I will, they will. If you say to this mountain, not if I say, if you say to this mountain, be moved, don't doubt in your heart, what we need is adoption. There he writes the transformation, and he writes Mark 11, 22-26. And he writes, the adoption equals is what we need. You'll command. But we've been told that before, notice, there's a time when that will be seen, even while we are still in these bodies. On the top, he also writes there, you won't pray, you'll command. And he also writes, the top of the mountain, the manifestation of the children of God. And there he also writes, you'll command, not pray. Notice on 3:16. Look on 3:16 as well. That next paragraph there, where it says, now a little later on, if I get a chance, I want to tell you what happened just recently, bringing in a new ministry of Just Speak the Word, and puts it right back into the lap of the people again. If they will come with the right attitude and believe, it's just got to happen. See how important is the attitude, not being boastful, the right attitude, and believing. With the right attitude and believe, it's just got to happen. In the book of quotations, in the book of the seals, also on 3:24, on the book of the seals. It says, I'm not going to speak it in his name. I'm going to speak it in the revelation of my faith. What happened in Sabino Canyon the other day? I believe that the hour is approaching when missing limbs will be restored and the glorious power of the Creator. I believe if he can make a squirrel appear that has no three dots, here is the man or woman. Just got a part missing. And that's a complete animal in itself. He is God. I love him. To the left, he writes upward, the creative power, arms and legs. And to the right, he writes, arms and legs restored, created. And he also writes squirrels. That is in the blue book that he had in Spanish. Arms and legs restored, created. And he also writes squirrels. By the spoken word. Our brother William continues to say, therefore, we have to be aware that a squeeze will come against the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and a strong squeeze or persecution against the Jews as well, which tells us about on page 119 on the Book of Quotations. It tells us paragraph 1057. The thing that we have looked forward for so long, for at least many years, 4 or 5 years, or maybe longer, the third pool has now been vindicated, and I'm sure you all know what it is. Now remember, there'll never be an impersonation of that, because it can't be, see? It cannot be. Now it is inexistent, and I am warned of this, that soon, right at this time now, it just happened. So we could identify its presence among you, see? But it will not be used in a great way until this council begins to tighten up. And when it does, when that does, the Pentecostals and so forth can almost impersonate anything can be done. But when that time comes, when the squeeze comes down, then you'll see what you've seen temporarily be manifested in the fullness of its power. There we see that squeeze which the Reverend William Branham spoke to us about. And our brother William continues to say, in the midst of the squeeze, the elect will be transformed. Those who are alive and those who have died will be resurrected in eternal bodies. Because, look, on that same page, 119, paragraph 1054, it tells us how we will be delivered from that persecution. It says, when this persecution comes, don't get scared. In other words, we have the warning already there. And also, what we have to face in those days. Because notice, look, when the persecution comes, don't get scared. There's a light. Said he would catch his people away. She'll not go through the tribulation. She'll never do it. He said she wouldn't. She'll be caught away. That is, she'll be raptured. And there he writes, the squeeze, a light will rapture the elect. Equals Christ in his and there. Christ in his, and he continues at the bottom there. It is because it's there in between. Christ in his coming. A light will rapture the elect, equals Christ in his coming. The light of the millennium or the millennium. And to the left, he draws a cornerstone with flashes. Now, that light was the same one that the Reverend William Branham saw in the 10th vision, speaking to someone higher above. Therefore, in his coming, notice the one who will be given to the church what she needs in order to go in the rapture and not go through the tribulation. It is the pillar of fire, the light, in that instrument. The Lord in his coming. Now, he goes on to say, and the Reverend William Branham says that the third pool will be manifested in a great tenth cathedral. Therefore, all that will come together in the fulfillment of what is promised for God to fulfill his program with his church. In a writing on a little card, our brother William writes, biblical history. He begins with the biblical history and continues the fulfillment of the divine program for each age and dispensation has, in between parentheses, been producing and continues, has produced the histories in between parentheses, the biblical history. Let me read it again. Biblical history, the fulfillment of the divine program for each age and dispensation has, in between parentheses, been producing, closes parentheses, has produced the opens parentheses histories, close parentheses, the biblical histories. And he continues, the fulfillment of the divine program for and of the end of the world, which has already been prophesied in the Old Testament and in the New Testament by Jesus, the apostles, and the seven angels of the seven ages of the Gentile Church, will produce the history, and he writes biblical, will produce the history of the end of the world, of the end of time, of the last day. The fulfillment of the divine program for and of the end of the world, which has already been prophesied in the Old Testament and in the New Testament by Jesus, the apostles, and the seven angels of the seven ages of the Gentile Church, will produce the history of the end of the world, of the end of time, of the last day. In other words, the history is what is being carried out now. We are making history of what they prophesied. It is the reality. He goes on to say, the title deed, the Lamb's Book of Life, sealed with seven seals, which is at the right hand of God, contains everything that would happen, mainly from Christ until now, during the dispensation of grace, and also contains things that pertain to the dispensation of the kingdom. In the message, The Anointed Ones at the End Time, page 57, the Reverend William Branham says, a little part on paragraph 262. It says, notice, the very day when this messenger, not when he started on, but when he begins to declare his message, see, the first pull, healing, second pull, prophesying, third pull, the opening of the word, the mysteries revealed. No more, there is no more higher order to reveal the word than prophets. But the only way the prophet can be vindicated is by the word. And remember, the third pull was the opening of them seven seals to reveal the hidden truth that's been sealed in the word. There he writes, to the left, in the third pull, the opening of the word. And at the bottom he writes, prophet, two dots, to reveal the word. Do you see it? It is then, in that day, when this thing is to take place, that Janes and Jambres, the impersonators, will appear again, just like they did when Moses appeared with the original word. To say it, they appear to impersonate it, just exactly right. Now, he goes on to say here, I'm in the message, the foretold seal. When it speaks to us about the Great Tribulation, it also speaks to us about a millennial kingdom. It speaks to us about the final judgment at the end of the 1,000 years of the Messianic kingdom. See, there are still many things in that book that are and lie under foretold seals, about things that will happen, which were given by divine revelation, by divine vision to John the Apostle. Christ made them known to John through his angel, the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ, of which the Reverend William Branham says that that angel is a spirit of a prophet. That is in the book of the seals. On page 345 of the Book of the Seals, on page 345, and let us see if here also in quotations, if we have that portion, is 811 on page 94. There we also have something written that he left for us. Let us go to the book. On page 345 it says, paragraph 194. Now, if this is the last time, they'll come an eagle, right, and do that. Now remember, now in the days that the lion came, and he writes, lion to the left. The original word, about 100 of them listened to the lion. In the days that the ox came, just a tiny little drop of them listened to the ox message. In the days that the man come, he worked among men, you see, so he was shrewd. He got a little group out. And what did they do? Satan seen that, so he just sent them right back and marries them into it. And remember, when the eagle finally comes, and he writes eagle to the left, it'll be the 100th of 1% that'll listen. It's an eagle age. And there he wrote together the 1% of those who listened to him. And at the top he writes, for 100 lots, dash, foolish, one Abraham, dash, wise. And remember, then even Jesus predicted if he didn't hasten his coming, there wouldn't be any flesh at all, save for the rapture. Is that the scripture? And to the left hand there, he writes, rapture, he hastened his coming. You see where we are at then, don't you, brother and sister? Amen. See where we at? Good, I'm so glad. I don't know what to do, but this just not me standing up here to talk. I'm here too. I'm among you. See, it's me. I got family. I got brothers and sisters that I love. And God of heaven, kind enough to come down and reveal that thing by His own, by visions that's been proved for 30 years, is the truth. We are here. We have arrived. That's all. Scientific search has proved it. The vindication of the Word has proved it. And we are here. And this revelation comes from God, and it's the truth. Have you caught anything? I just wondered if you was. See? Yes, sir. I might not have to tell you then, someday. Notice? Wonderful. And he writes, rapture there on top. Now notice. And then according to the time that God was going to deliver the antediluvian world, he sent the eagle. And time he was going to deliver Israel, he sent the eagle. Don't you believe that the time, even on John, on the Isles of Patmos, this message was too perfect that he couldn't trust it with an angel? You know, an angel is a messenger. But do you know the messenger was a prophet? You believe that? Let's prove it. Revelation 22. Let's see if he was an eagle. Yeah, see, sure. He was an angel. He's the messenger. But he was a prophet that revealed this whole book of Revelation to him. Watch what John seen here. There's a place in the book of the seals that says Moses will be the same person. We find out the same thing in Revelation chapter 20, verse 8, something like that. This here is turned off. Now notice. Let us look at 374. Notice, it says, 374. Moses will be the same person. Now, and we find out in Revelation 22:8 the same thing. Now, or to settle it for those who... Those souls now watch this under the altar of the breaking of the seals that has been slain in the time between the death of Christ and the going up of the church. And there he writes, the angel who showed everything to John is a prophet. And there he writes, it's Moses. Now, our brother William continues to say here, in other words, our brother William Aaron Branham, on page 351. You know, an angel is a messenger. But do you know the messenger was a prophet? You believe that? Let's prove it. Revelation 22, let's see if he was an eagle. Yep, sure, he was an angel. He's the messenger. But he was a prophet that revealed this whole book of Revelation to him. Watch what John seen here. I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed these things, which showed me these things. And there he writes, the angel who revealed the book of Revelation to John was a prophet. And he, the angel, see, then said he to me, see thou do it not. No true prophet would be worshipped or messenger of any kind, see, that's God alone. For I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them that keep the saying of this book. Worship God. Revelation 22, 8-9. And in the book of quotations on page 94, paragraph 811, there at the top he also writes, he was a prophet. And here he writes, Elijah, the angel who brought the revelation to John, a prophet, Elijah. So let's continue on page 360. See, now the book was so important that it is the Word of God. Now watch. And when the Word of God is brought forth, it's got to be brought by the prophet, because that's who the Word of God comes to. And at the top he writes, Revelation 7, verse 2, 11, 3 to 7, 14, verse 1. That's the angel with the seal of the living God. And Revelation 11 is the ministries of Moses and Elijah. And he also writes, the prophet is the one who brings the word. Now, notice on page 95, there, beginning on paragraph 819, it also says, look at Moses, Elijah. After Moses had died and Elijah had been taken into heaven, he stood here on Mount Transfiguration with his senses of speech, hearing, understanding, and talked to Jesus before the crucifixion. Now, what kind of a body did he have? Look at Samuel. After being dead for about 2 years, was called back in the cave that night by the witch of Endor and talked to Saul with language, heard Saul, spoke back and foreknew things that was going to happen. Still, his spirit hadn't changed. He was a prophet. When Elijah's spirit comes upon the man, and there to the right, he drew a Star of David. And he heavily underlines, when Elijah's spirit come upon the man, it will drive him just like Elisha. He'll go to the wilderness. He'll love the wilderness. He'll be a hater of immoral women. He'll be against organizations. He'll pull no punches for nobody. And that'll be his spirit. It was each time he comes, see? Moses will be the same person. Now, and we find out in Revelation 22:8 the same thing. That is what we read in page 374. That is the excerpt. And there at the end, he writes, the angel equals Moses and Elijah. And to the left, upward, he writes, Mount Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah in the theophanic bodies. Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah in theophanic bodies. And at the top, he writes, the angel who brought the revelation to John. Moses and Elijah equals Revelation 22:8. He also wrote Samuel in theophany. Now remember that the one who operates the ministries is the Holy Spirit. He is the one that operates the ministry that he has to operate. In one of the Bibles, when in the part where he says, I, Jesus, I'm not sure if I've read that one before, but in one of the Bibles where it says, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel, on I, Jesus, he writes Holy Spirit. Now notice what our brother William says, and we are going to leave that alone there, because the Reverend William Branham says, it is not the Lord Jesus Christ, because when John wanted to worship him, the angel told him not to do it. If he had been the Lord Jesus Christ, he would have received the worship. But let's leave that there. That will be clarified later on, and some will say, I thought so. The Reverend William Branham says, it could have been Elijah, the prophet Elijah, or one of the prophets. Why? Because he is a spirit, a spiritual body, a heavenly body of a prophet. Because God is the God of the spirits of the prophets. That is, of the theophanic heavenly bodies of the prophets. Now, the word comes to the prophets. Notice on page 35 from the book of quotations. Paragraph 293. It says, many of the meeting from my new ministry coming in, a brother Baptist brother standing here, his daughter, teenage, had been kind of a little wayward. And when he went home, she is saved. And the other one here this morning to be baptized and going on. And a man, Mr. Sotman, a friend of mine from Canada, his mother-in-law in a dying condition, said, "You find your mother-in-law when you get there, well, on her road to recovery, all right." That's just the way it was. And just people just coming in. It's just in its infancy now moving. But oh, we're expecting the exceedingly abundantly above all. We're in the evil and last days, but in a glorious hour. There is where he writes, at the bottom, the infancy of the new ministry. And at the top he writes, by a prophet, the third pool equals, speak the word. Our brother William continues to say, that is the kind of body that the believers in Christ are in, who have departed from this earth and are in the sixth dimension in paradise. They are in spiritual bodies, theophanic bodies, heavenly bodies, just like the heavenly body of the angel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is still a great mystery there. Now, notice on page 10, on the book of quotations, paragraph 84, it tells us, I'm trying now my best, if God helps me, to kind of move off into another type of ministry, if I can, while especially in America, and these signs and wonders that's been done, and the phenomenal, which is we've talked of now for 8 or 10 years, it sweeps across the nation, and everyone knows about it. I'm asking our Lord if He will just let me just pray for the sick children and settle it at that. And at the top he writes, another type of ministry. Now it says, there is still a great mystery there, but someday God will open that mystery. And surely it will be in the third pool, in the fulfillment of the 10th vision of a great 10th cathedral that was shown to the Reverend William Branham. On page 8. Of this book of quotations, paragraph 61, it tells us, I don't want to have ministering to the sick no more than just by handkerchief or so forth. I'm trying to get away from that vision, you see. And especially as weak as I am now, I go to stand before people, well, then you start that vision comes back. I want to get away and get myself quietened down to where I can come forth and have a different meeting. I want to get away from it so I can lay down, say, now, Lord, just as you will. Whenever you want me to know anything, you let me know. And I'll keep it a secret to myself, lest you tell me to tell it. See what I mean? And then go out there and pray for the sick and change my ministry altogether. I can have longer meetings, better meetings, and everything else I had than I could before. And there at top he writes, a change of ministry. And in page 25, paragraph 207, he tells us, which there is also a writing on a Bible study, but let's read, and then at the end we will read that writing. Notice. Page 25, paragraph 207 says, now, we'll pray for the emergency cases, but then after about a couple of nights, I want to start in my new ministry, and I want to take them back here in this room, because you know the vision. How many remembers the vision? Sure you do, of the little tent in the room. And he writes there above the paragraph, the third pool, the tent, and the little room. Now, I'm going to take Mera in with me on the first night on account of sending women in. But it's a ministry that I can't let be known to the public. No one will ever duplicate this. You see? No, sir, no. I know it's right on the merge now. I can just look like, just reach out there and take a hold of. It's laying right there. Last night, I was dreaming just before I got up this morning. Brother Neville, I was dreaming a dream, and I thought the ministry. I don't know what I was doing, but whatever it was, oh, you talk about things taking place, I never seen such. I woke up just a crying, a praising. And to the right, upward, he writes, the tenth vision. On verse, he continues on the next verse, verse 8. I hit my wife in the face with my hand like that, just praising God laying there. There he writes, above paragraph 208, he writes, the tenth vision, and he hit Mera in the face and on top accidentally. In other words, he was dreaming and he accidentally hit her. He hit her while he was there. Oh, I just know that there is something right out here just ready to reach over and get a hold of it. It's going to be greater than it's ever been. It's going to be wonderful. I believe God is fixing to do something great. To do something great. He underlines great. But now we got to approach it sanely, intelligently, and right in the Word of God. Not like some people who speak without thinking. It is better to be quiet and wait so that they don't regret what they spoke later on. And he writes on the right side, the third pool. And in the Bible study, he writes, the new ministry of the fourth Elijah and the fifth Elijah is the fifth ministry of Elijah in another prophet, who will be one of the two olive trees of Zechariah 4:11-14 and Revelation 11:1-14. And on page 26, look in paragraph 219, it tells us, as you know, my ministry is changing, and oh, what a glorious change. Oh, all of you remember the words that's been ringing, and every time it happens, something happens. When I go in to speak on that, come to me, say to this mountain, why has it been? It's been faith. Anything is by faith. And to the right, going upwards, he writes, say to this mountain. Now, our brother William continues to say, surely, for years the question has been, where, when, and who will make that vision a reality? Because it was not a tent of the Reverend William Branham. When he went there, it was already built. They already had public activities. They were already preaching. Altar calling was already taking place, which indicates that the ones who were there were believers in Christ, and God was doing great things. Notice even in today's message, on page 13, around there he says, In a part there, he says. In other words, he will not be ministering again. That is, Brother Branham. He left and he will return in the resurrection of the dead in Christ, for which the tenth vision will already be operating and a new ministry will be there. Two ministries that the Holy Spirit will be operating, which are the ministries of the two olive trees. Clearer than that, if he already left and Brother William also left, then there has to be a ministry in which the Holy Spirit is operating the ministries of Moses and Elijah in the great tenth cathedral. They will return in the resurrection with eternal and glorified bodies. But when he went there, there was already a ministry operating there. Now, our Brother William continues to say, the angel who accompanied the Reverend William Branham also went down to the little room where there was the name that the Reverend William Branham was looking for, which he saw in the vision when he was in that place. Now notice, in the Book of the Ages, on page 29, it tells us, if Jesus is both Lord and Christ, then he, Jesus, is and cannot be else but Father, Son, and Holy Ghost in one person manifested in the flesh. It's not God in three persons, Blessed Trinity, but one God, one person, with three major titles, with three offices manifesting those titles. Hear it once more. This same Jesus is both Lord and Christ. And to the right there he writes, Jesus is Lord, Father, Christ, HS, Holy Spirit. It is not God in three persons, Blessed Trinity, but one God, one person with three major titles, with three offices manifesting those titles. Hear it once more. This same Jesus is both Lord and Christ. Lord, Father, and Christ, Holy Spirit, are Jesus. For he, Jesus, is both of them, Lord and Christ. If that doesn't show us the true revelation of the Godhead, nothing will. Lord is not another one. Christ is not another one. This Jesus is the Lord Jesus Christ, one God. Now notice here in the book, in the Bible study, in a Bible study, he writes, there on the back, he writes, an angel messenger, a man, a prophet, will receive and will have the name of God of the New Jerusalem and the new name of the Lord Jesus Christ, YHWH. He will be adopted, transformed, a new name written, which no man knows saving he that receives it. And my new name. And in between parentheses, he writes, I will write upon him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and my new name. And there below he writes, Genesis 41. And he writes, Saphnath-Panea. And he draws a line and writes, God speaks. And he, in between parentheses, he writes, Joseph. And he lives, the one who reveals secret things. And Jesus received a new name. And it has to do with the revelation. And on top he writes, and fulfills. the revelation of secret things. And further down he writes, Pharaoh gave Joseph a name that was above all names. And in this other one, he also writes there, the family of Joseph, his seed among the Gentiles today. Joseph, and in between parentheses, Zaphnath-Paneah, equals the one who reveals secret things, Christ. He closes parentheses and then Christ, Asenath, dash the Gentile church, Ephraim, dash the church, his children, Manasseh, equals Israel, his children. Now notice, in the Book of the Seals, on page 350, let us see there. Also in the ages tells us where you can look for or searching where it says it will be more glorious than we can imagine. But look on page 350 of the Book of the Seals. It says, through there he bore Ephraim and Manasseh, Gentiles, Latins, Latin Americans on the Gentile part, and on Jews he writes 144,000, which was added into Israel, as Israel blessed them by crossing his hands from the youngest to the oldest, to cross the blessing from the Jews to the Gentiles. See? Crossed his hands to the youngest son, which is the younger church, to come in. The mother church stood in the sun. She brought forth this baby. And notice, to get him, Israel crossed his hands in the type. There he writes, on the left, going upward, the right hand equals upon the youngest. The bride of Israel back there become crossed for the old Orthodox over to the Christian way by the Holy Spirit that crossed Israel's hands. He said, God has crossed my hands. He had nothing to do with it. Then Joseph, rejected by his own brethren, his own people, took a Gentile bride, just exactly what Jesus done, rejected by the Jews, took a Gentile bride. On top he writes, Joseph. And on top of Joseph he writes, Jesus. And his wife. And he writes, the bride. And his Gentile wife and his two sons. And he also writes, it will be materialized today with the Gentiles and the Hebrews elect. The two sons of the bride, Gentile and Hebrew. He also wrote that there. Now, let's read something here. I got a scripture wrote down, Acts 15. This is just kind of just what we are supposed to teach it. And after they had held their peace, James answered. Now, you see what happened. They had went to the Gentiles, see? And the fault was on, because they were Jews, see? Saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon, that's Simon Peter, has declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. See, my wife's name was Broy. When I took her, she was Abraham, see? And there he writes, Miss Broy, Mrs. Branham. Jesus takes his church out, or his bride out of the Gentiles. It's the scripture, typed, just like Joseph's was. And to the right he writes, Joseph. And he writes, Miss Jesus, Mrs., and a line, and he leaves it in blank. Now notice where we quoted it. Ages 2:11. Let us see in this other one. On this Spanish book is 2:32, and on this other Spanish book is 2:30. Let us see. But English 2:11 also tells us, it also says here that he's going to give the overcomer a white stone, and he underlines in and in, not on, the stone, a new name, which the owner alone knows. Now the idea of a new name is a familiar one. Abraham was changed to Abraham, Sarai to Sarah, Jacob to Israel, Simon to Peter, and Saul to Paul. These names either brought about a change or were given because of a change. It was only after Abraham and Sarai had their names changed by the Lord that they were made ready to receive the coming son. In Jacob's case, he had to overcome and then he was called a prince. In the case of Simon and Saul, when they had received the Lord, their change came. And today each one of us true believers had had a change in name. We are Christians. Dispensational name, he wrote that there. It is a name common to all of us. But one day we will have another change. We will of a certainty receive, and he writes in the adoption, receive a new name. Then he writes, the Father's one. It could well be that name was our true and original name written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world. He knows the name, but we do not. One day, and he writes, 8th day, at his good pleasure, we will know also. Now, on 3:18, which is the one we quoted before. Here is 3:60 in the Spanish book. And I will write my new name upon him. My new name. When all becomes new, then he will take upon his a new name, and that name will be the name of the bride also. What that name is, none there conjecture. It would have to be a revelation of the Spirit given so conclusively that none would dare deny it. But no doubt, he will leave that revelation to the day when he desires to give that name forth. Suffices to know that it will be more wonderful than we could ever imagine. And there he writes, the new name of the Lord. Now, our brother William continues to say here, in other words, there is a name. And the most important name has to be the new name of the Lord. No other name is more important. Therefore, there is a mystery laying there. But the Reverend William Branham was told by the angel who accompanied him, you won't say anything about this. You won't say nothing to no one. And that is so that imitations do not arise and hinder the divine program. The pillar of fire, which is Christ, the angel of the covenant, the Holy Spirit, also came down there. In other words, in the fulfillment of the 10th vision, in the fulfillment of that third pool in the 10th vision, the pillar of fire, the angel of the covenant, Christ in Holy Spirit, who led the Hebrew people, delivered them, and led them through the wilderness and brought them into the promised land, will be there. In other words, when he speaks there of the future, will be there. Today, we can say, he is here today. He will be there, he says, in the great 10th cathedral. Today, that pillar of fire is here. As simple as that. Notice in this message, the anointed ones at the end time. Now, what will be there? On the back of this message, they added the angel's visitation, which is an excerpt from the book of quotations from page 13. Paragraph 97, 98. Paragraph 98 on page 13. And it's about halfway down, a little bit further down. Where? There is the middle, then just a little further down, about halfway past the middle. There at the bottom it says, inside the tent. There is where he placed this here, which is, something is written there. It says, inside the tent I saw a canvas stretched about 4 feet high, with a gate in this canvas fence. Inside this fence sat a little square wooden room. A lady was standing at the gate of the canvas fence, taking the name and prayer card of a lady laying on a wheeled stretcher. Behind the stretcher was a man on crutches. And the lady took his name and card also. A strong man came out and pushed the lady on the stretcher through the gate of the canvas fence and through a door into the little wooden room. I heard the familiar swishing sound made by the light that accompanies my ministry, and I saw it go from me to the little room. The angel of the Lord was still standing by me in the air. He said to me, that is, Brother Branham had not come down yet, neither did the angel. He said, I'll meet you in there. I saw his hand pointing to the little room. He added, this is the third pool. He writes, swishing sound. I said, I do not understand this. He replied, in there I will meet you. And he writes there, it is the ministry of the Lord in his second coming. Is the pillar of fire in the midst of the people today or not? Of course it is, because it is the messianic ministry. And he is the one that is working in the midst of the church bride. And I watched and saw the sick lady coming out a door on the opposite side of the little room. She was off the stretcher, pushing it. A lady was there to get her testimony on a tape recorder and ask, what happened in the little room? She answered, I don't know. Then came the man out, carrying his crutches. The lady asked him, what happened in the little room? And he answered, I don't know. The angel of the Lord said, this will not be a public show. Is not it written in the scripture of our Lord's word, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly? Be not as the hypocrites that make their public show of things, but go into your secret closet. Then the angel of the Lord and I descended into the little room. What he said to me there, I will have to keep a secret the rest of my life. And to the left he writes, the tenth and the fifth Elijah, second Moses, and second Jesus. Now notice, it is a work of the Holy Spirit, the pillar of fire, already on that stage, where all of that will be seen, which will be the international miracles and all of that. But where he is working right now is in the soul of every elect. In other words, that is the secret place, the place where, by the spoken word, it will come into existence through those children who place the word right, and it will produce everything that will be spoken, because it is the pillar of fire in his children. Now notice, he continues to say, it is because he has been in his church. He said, I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. And notice how far the end of the world will go to. It will reach the fulfillment of the third pool, in the fulfillment of the tenth vision that was shown to the Reverend William Branham. If he says that he would be with his people until the end of the world, and he says that the end would be in a great tent cathedral, then he is with us, working and fulfilling what he promised. His presence in the midst of the people, which is the pillar of fire that the Reverend William Branham saw speaking to somebody else above from where he was. Now he goes on to say, it is a mystery, but when it is being fulfilled, it will no longer be a mystery. It will be a reality, of which he said in the Book of the Ages, on page 46, it says, let's see what the Bible teaches us about this Sabbath rest. For he that is entered into his rest, this entering is not only entering in, but remaining in the rest. It is an eternal rest, of which the seventh day is but a type. Seven is completion. Eight is the first day again. Jesus' resurrection was in the first day of the week, giving us eternal life and eternal Sabbath rest. Thus, there to the right, going upwards, he writes, the eighth day equals resurrection. Thus we see why God could not give us any one certain day of the week as a Sabbath rest. We'd enter into and do remain in our rest, which Israel could not do, having only a shadow of the true substance which we enjoy. Why go back to a shadow when we have reality now? And there to the right, he draws Star of David, and he writes, the reality is better than the shadow, the type. And he also writes, why be? Go back to the shadow when you have the reality? Why go to the shadow, to the types, and to what was said? That would be the fulfillment of that word that was spoken and prophesied. If we have the reality today, we have seen what happens at the end of the trumpet. Like this in some places where we have been reading. And one of the things we saw there is the rapturing faith that would be given to the church at this end time, which is one of the things that would be happening and that the church would be receiving to thus be prepared to soon be transformed and raptured. And we have also seen that a squeeze will come. We have also seen there everything that will be carried out in the end in that great 10th cathedral that was shown to the Reverend William Branham, where he saw preaching, altar call, prayer lines for the sick and all that, which we are seeing that it is an interlace where it is increasing more and more every time until we reach that activity that he saw. In other words, we'll reach that activity. And when we get to be in that activity, if God allows us to say, this is the activity that the Reverend William Branham spoke about, which he was taken to, and which the angel was showing him, then there we will know. And if it is only for the chosen ones, that they will know and understand that that is the activity, because for that time, we will then be using, if not fully, it will be very close, that communication of which we will be able to know, be aware of things that only that person knows or will know. There is a scripture that speaks of Paul, which I was reading. We can look it up later. Spoken. Let's see if we can find it. which was led by the Spirit, or he was moved. Let us see if it's Acts. Since we touched something there, Acts 21, around there. In other words, there is something there Acts 21:4, notice, and finding disciples, we tarried there 7 days, who said to Paul through the Spirit that he should not go up to Jerusalem. It seems like they had a very advanced technology there. They had no cell phones. So, well, there is something there in that apostolic environment that they had back then, which Brother Branham says that the apostolic days will return. May God help us to be prepared to use those dimensions. Notice, if the fourth dimension has been used as far as God has allowed it, and all that they have achieved, how much more when a child of God places the word right and can use all that without limitations? So that will be something so glorious, which is for us. There is no other people. It's you and it's me. What happens at the last trumpet? Let us stand. And I don't know if you have a hymn. It could be the Pillar of Fire or one that you have prepared. And thus, with that hymn, we can leave the message that we have for today. Jose Guillermo, the song director, can come forth and lead us in a praise. I don't know if he has one prepared already. Hymn number 147, Standing Before the Fulfillment. I am before the greatest fulfillment in history. It's the second coming of Jesus with Moses and Elijah. I am before the greatest fulfillment in history. It is the second coming of Jesus with Moses and Elijah. And today I can see this great event taking place in our midst. The dead will be resurrected, and when I see them, I will be transformed. Now that the angel of the Lord is adopted. And today I can see this great event taking place in our midst. The dead will be resurrected, and when I see them, I will be transformed. Now that the angel of the Lord is adopted. Today, I walk in His Word, in the Word of the King, which the Anointed One is speaking to my heart, and in His message, I can see my transformation. Today, I walk in His Word, in the Word of the King, which the Anointed One is speaking to my heart. And in His message, I can see my transformation. And today I can see this great event taking place in our midst. The dead will be resurrected, and when I see them, I will be transformed. Now that the angel of the Lord is adopted. And today I can see this great event taking place in our midst. The dead will be resurrected, and when I see them, I will be transformed. Now that the angel of the Lord is adopted. And today I can see this great event taking place in our midst. The dead will be resurrected, and when I see them, I will be transformed. Now that the angel of the Lord is adopted. Now that the angel of the Lord is adopted. Now that the angel of the Lord is adopted. Amen. We can sing one more. Can we sing the Pillar of Fire, if you have it there? I'm not sure if Ruth is around, so that she can join us and give us that touch. And also, we can all together sing that song. And notice, it is the Spirit of God moving in the midst of the people. And He comes in and settles and works there according to how the person asks and desires. Remember that the believer has access to those treasures of the promised land. And when the Holy Spirit moves and the person is there, connected with that dimension, all things are possible to him that believes. He said that he would be with you until the end of the world in a great tent cathedral. And he's here today. There is nothing impossible to him who believes. See, faith does not reason. No, this would be impossible. No, faith believes and accepts. And notice, the Holy Spirit does it. That is why when she said, "My children," that's the case of Sister Hattie Wright. What did the Holy Spirit do there? Brother Branham spoke and said, "I'll give them to you." Why? She had spoken believing what she spoke. And right away, the Holy Spirit said, "I'll give them to you. They're yours." She asked for the right thing, because a child of God will not ask for anything but the perfect will of God. They will not give anything unless it's the will of God. Let us always ask according to His will, to His perfect will. And you will see how those words of Mark chapter 11 say to that mountain, not try to say, to see if, no, say, that it be moved. And it will be moved, because the pillar of fire is the one that carries it out, the Holy Spirit. The angel of the covenant is the one who does the work, but he needs instruments, the pillar of fire. The pillar of fire, which spoke to Moses from that bush, which went with Israel through the wilderness, and parted Jordan for their freedom. The pillar of fire, which was with Joshua before his people, the one who fought and overcame with His great strength, and took them to the land of milk and honey. The pillar of fire, which was in the prophets and in Jesus, which was in His angel messenger, He's here today. He's still here today. The pillar of fire is speaking to us today through His instrument. He is preparing us for our adoption. He is God Himself, the great I Am. Who makes the preparation? The pillar of fire. He is the one who is teaching us. He is the I Am, the same yesterday, today, and forever. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. The God of the spirits of the prophets. The pillar of fire, which will fill this great temple with glory. The one that will perform miracles and wonders is becoming incarnate in our lives today. The pillar of fire, which was with Joshua before his people, the one who fought and overcame with His great strength, and took them to the land of milk and honey. The pillar of fire, which was in the prophets and in Jesus, which was in His angel messenger, He's here today. He's still here today. The pillar of fire is speaking to us today through His instrument. He's preparing us for our adoption. He is God Himself, the great I Am. The pillar of fire, which was in the prophets and in Jesus, which was in His angel messenger, He is here today. He's still here today. The pillar of fire is speaking to us today through His instrument. He is preparing us for our adoption. He is God Himself, the great I Am. And that same voice that is preparing us is the same voice that will call those who will be resurrected. The same voice that called Lazarus to come out of the grave is the same voice, the voice of the archangel, which will call at this end time. The same voice that said, "Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee." What happens at the last trumpet? Let us leave this way in this subject. What happens at the last trumpet? Our dear brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.